As you were singing, I was thinking about Paul, who was that early missionary who was trying to round up all the Christians and put them in jail, and then was stopped on the road and discovered Jesus talking to him, and Jesus saying, "Paul, I love," or Saul was his name at the time, "Saul, I love you." And over the next few days, his whole life changed, so that when we were reading scripture this morning, we heard about Saul, who had become Paul, then being imprisoned himself because he was Christian, and being behind closed doors because he was arrested for starting a riot preaching about Jesus and Jesus' love for all. I'm wondering if we can just quickly in our heads count up, how many doors have you walked through just today? I know I've walked through my bedroom door, my bathroom door, my front door, back door, front door again, car door, sometimes the bus door, sometimes the elevator here, the elevator door, the automatic door. Doors are everywhere, and it seems that we don't do too much in life without walking through a door. So in the scripture today, I'd like to focus on the open door in that story, because Paul and Silas, along with other rabble-rousers, were in a dungeon. It was a dungeon. There was nothing great about it, in chains, and no TV, and They were there until they were let go. Paul, being a Roman citizen, really shouldn't have been there, because they didn't do that to Roman citizens. However, there were a lot of things that they didn't do to Roman citizens that they did to Paul, and practically killed him many times in the process. So here we are. Before we can talk about open doors, though, we need to talk about those closed doors. I find it really ironic, but it seems to be human nature, at least for me. I recognize this in myself, and it could be because I'm a type A person. But oftentimes, after I get through an open door, I want to close it so nobody else can get through too. Have you ever had that, wow, I made it, so who cares about everybody else attitude? Sometimes those little thoughts do go through me. And right now, I was talking with a close member of our family who is into survivalist stuff. And I don't know, maybe some of you haven't heard of this, and I'm sure others have, where many people are afraid that the world is going to be overtaken by who knows what, whether it's like zombies or people from the other side of the world or whatever it is, and so they have to prepare, and they prepare for themselves and their families, and they have bags full of everything that they would need to escape at a moment's notice, to the point where my son said to me, "And so here are all our bags, and we're just going to take off to the north." And I said, "But I live in the south. Aren't you coming around for me before you escape?" And he said, "Well, if you can get up here, okay, but otherwise we're on our way." I'm going, "I raised you?" And he's a loving child who is outgoing and generous in many ways, but he seems to have it in his mind right now that should the world be invaded, and should Guelph or Kitchener be invaded, then he's got a plan on how to get around that. And someday we're going to have a talk, and someday I'm going to just ask him, like, how free are you when you're living in fear all these years? How does living in fear of what might happen and how you might get ahead and how others might not, how does that really help your quality of life in the here and now? History is full of examples of closing doors. You know, when the European settlers came over here to Aboriginal land, They contained, they reshaped communities, and they thought they were opening doors for themselves while closing doors for the people who had been here before. And in the end, we're living proof that that attitude actually closes everybody in and it impoverishes the Aboriginal people, the early settlers, as well as all of us that are here in Canada today, because we had that policy. Every day it seems the world is groaning because of the refugee problem. We live an ocean away. We don't live a sea away. We live an ocean away, and so that's a very different experience than what some of Asia and Europe is going through in Africa at this time. Because we are allowed to say who comes and who doesn't come. And as we all know now, in the past, we've turned away boatloads of people and sent them back to their deaths. And this time we just have to say no, and we could leave people where they are in the situations that they are in, thinking that we're free in the process. Perhaps you remember the Snoopy cartoon from a while back. Snoopy's talking to Charlie Brown, and Snoopy says, "I love humanity. It's people I can't stand." This week we had Mission and Outreach invited people to come who are working with refugees in our city, and they showed us different ways, different pictures of how we as individuals and as a congregation could help the people who are here as refugees. At the end of the evening, I'd brought along Nadia, who's a friend of mine and a friend of some of yours. She attended two of the weeks when we were getting to know our Muslim neighbors, and she came and chatted with us. She hates the microphone. She doesn't like to speak in public like this, but one-on-one, she's a wonderful, wonderful person and changes my mind about things every time I meet her. Anyways, she was coming to tell us about a program that's called the Group of Five. It's a sponsor referral program through the Canadian government, where the United Church has an agreement with the government that when families who already have family here, or when there are Syrians who know of other people in other locations like Jordan, who would be good candidates and who have had a number for a while to be registered with the UN, where if we can find five people who live in the same basic location, that's the only stipulation, to come together and say that they'll sponsor, it could be 10 or 15 or 300 people, but anyways, they'll sponsor a family, then that can be a go. And Nadia came and she told us about friends that her daughter has met in Jordan. And there's a dad who's 30 years old, a mom who's 21. They haven't started a family, so I guess they're really not moms and dads, are they? But they'd like to start a family. That's their hope, but they will not, in this war-torn mess of hopping around from country to country, to be a little more free along the way. So those two, and their 66-year-old, his 66-year-old mom, are seeking refugee status. They've had a number now for 3 years, and they still haven't been chosen. And she said that her family will put up all the money for that, but because they've already sponsored the number that they can, they can't sponsor anymore as a family, so they're looking for other people who will. So just to let you know that's going on in this congregation right now. We've already had four people come forward and say that they'd like to be part of that, but that's an opportunity, especially when we know people who would like to bring good people over and who have the funds and the language skills and the resources here in Kitchener to be able to do that. I was meeting with the confirmands before church this morning. So last night I was looking through old observers, and I just came across an article because I wanted them to be looking at different things the United Church is doing this morning. Came across Byron Church in London. I don't know, you might have connections with Byron Church. I know I was in London conference, so I do. But they've sponsored many, many people this way. They just keep sponsoring people and having other people provide the money and the housing and the physical resources, as well as some of the emotional resources. So that is an option as well. And I thought, when we're talking about doors, opening doors and closing doors, it's a good idea to think about people who don't have the resources and who don't have the ability to get out of situations that are really difficult. When I read about Paul, I ask in this passage, he was singing. Did you notice that? At midnight, he's sitting in this dungeon, and he and his friends are singing and praying. And to me, singing is praying. You know, I think singing is always praying, because at least I go to a place that's really deep in my heart when I sing, whether it's through joy or sorrow, it can be prayer. So they were singing together, and I wondered, are they singing because of their connection with God, or are they singing because they want that connection with God? That's kind of a which came first, the chicken or the egg. And I realized that I think they were singing because of their connection with God, because who would have thought if you were in chains, your legs and your arms in chains, and suddenly there's an earthquake, like, sure, that happens every day. And your chains are all broken and you're free to go. Which one of us wouldn't just go? And yet Paul realizes if any of us leave and claim our freedom, that man over there, that man that's called the jail keeper, will have to kill himself, because the Romans will as soon as they find out. That was his responsibility, and if he didn't follow through for no, whatever the reason, he was dead. And he knew that, and they knew that. And Paul acted on that. Paul said, wait, stay here, because how can we be free if this fellow's going to have to kill himself for our freedom? It doesn't add up. It's not right. And I think about us today, and me in particular, how many chances I have to open doors that are closed in so many different ways. And yet sometimes I just feel too tired. Sometimes I have a shopping list and I have to get going. You know, there are lots of things that would hold me back from opening a door. And to be perfectly honest, if what someone said to me, you can rot in this jail and let this jailer live, or you can just walk out right now, I don't know that I would be as brave as Paul. But in that story, Paul helps me to understand that faith and belief isn't something that I can turn off and on like a tap. It's not something where I just have to rummage through and get a different key and all is well for the door. That when I say I'm a Christian and I say I believe in Jesus' way, well, then I guess I have to be doing what I hear Jesus telling me. And the more I do that, the more I can do that. The more I do that in my actions, in my words, in my ideas, in my heart, the stronger I become and the more courageous I become, so that I can take risks like Paul did. And I can know that even though it may seem as though I've locked myself into some place, really that's the only way I can be free. So Paul shows me that the world is much bigger than me or you or a congregation or even a country. Paul shows me that we're all connected, and that just because someone might not have the same sounding last name as me, we're still connected. We're still more connected than not connected by ever so much more. And that in order for everyone to be free, in order for me to be free, that's it. In order for me to be really free, in order for us to be really free, everyone needs that sense of freedom. So that everyone may walk out of whatever prison they and we are in and open the doors to new life that is ours. Amen.